Amen. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 5 tonight, the book of John chapter 5. This door is going to stay here for the whole sermon, and so if you can't see, then you may want to move now so that you can see the screen, and hopefully that will help us here in just a little bit. How many of you this week or in the course of the last couple weeks passed out a Friend Day flyer or so, maybe more than that? So just slip your hand up if you would for a minute. All right, easily, it's more than half of us, and I just want to say to you that the proof of that was in the service this morning. There were numerous visitors here this morning. There were souls saved, baptized, and added to the church. That's the New Testament pattern, by the way, and I just want to encourage you, you don't have to have a special Friend Day to do that. If you'll just put some tracts in your pocket and do that every week, God will bless and He will multiply. He promised that. We've been looking at that on these Sunday night services, and when the people of God get involved in the work of God, He blesses and He multiplies. Here's the wonderful thing, Brother Saxton alluded to this earlier, but God doesn't promise that He will send the person that you visited, but He will send. There were all kinds of people here that maybe somebody invited months ago, and some people just stumbled into the house of God. And by the way, that wasn't by accident. It was divine providence. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, don't just think, well, Friend Day's over. We can pat ourselves on the back. And no, let's do the same thing this week. Just pass out a few tracts and see what God will do with that. Well, the outline's on the screen for where we've been. We looked at the proclamation, the participation, the preparation, and last week the presentation. And there is a command that we are to go. We call that the Great Commission, and there are several places in Scripture where that's reiterated. And then there is the reminder that we're to have some preparation. That's corporate preparation here at the ministry. That's you personally. You should be prepared to give the gospel. And then there's the reminder that all of us should be giving the gospel. Every person who's a child of God should share their faith. That ought to be a part of you being a believer. Now, you may share your faith differently than someone else, and you may share it at a different time, and that's all well and good, and we'll talk a little bit about that more in the coming services, but you should share your faith. And then last week, we looked at the reminder that you ought to know your Bible. There should be a confidence in the Scripture. You may not have to quote every passage, and you may not know all the references, and that's fine, but you should have a foundation that's confident in the Word of God. And we're developing or endeavoring to develop a heart that sees people as Jesus sees them and sees souls as an eternal need for heaven. And I trust that the Lord will use that, that we'll constantly be people that are giving as we are going. Tonight we go to John chapter 5. They're going to be in a familiar story, the woman at the well, and we're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. We'll come to several reminders of it throughout the message. Stand if you would, please. John, did I say 5? Chapter 4. John chapter 4 is where we need to be with the woman at the well in Samaria. I'm sorry, John chapter 4, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. By the way, there's a sermon title. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Father, thank you for the scripture. And while we sometimes make the mistake of just thinking that this is a story, help us to recognize that the events are real and, Lord, that the applications are real. And I pray that tonight, that, Lord, everything that happens by way of message and by way of illustration would be a help to us. I pray that you would get the glory. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to be teachable tonight. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and thank you for standing. When you read through the New Testament, and if you specifically try to look for each time the gospel is presented to a lost person, you're going to find a common thread. And the common thread is that there's very rarely, if any, throughout your entire Bible, two gospel presentations that are exactly the same. You study the scripture, you'll find that there are different approaches, same message, same doctrine, same truth, but different approaches to the Word of God. When Peter stood at Pentecost, he preached in a different fashion and used a different approach than Philip when he gave the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. Here we have in John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to the woman of Samaria. But you understand that when Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 4, it's an entirely different approach than he used in John chapter 3 with speaking with Nicodemus just a few verses earlier. And while the message should never change, and by the way, there are some people today that are trying to monkey with the message, and they're trying to change the truth and the doctrine, and I'm not an advocate at all of that, and they are wrong, and that's unscriptural, but there is a place for us to be wise and be diligent with the gospel so that we're able to meet people where they are. Sometimes people will approach you and they will ask you about your faith, kind of like Nicodemus did with Jesus. And they may come to you and they may want to know about your faith. They may observe your life at work, or they may have observed some things in your life, and they want to know how they can be saved. And what a wonderful privilege that is. It underscores what we said last week, that you ought to always be ready to share your faith and be able to give the gospel. And you ought to always be ready, the Bible says, to give an answer where if someone does inquire of you, you can share your faith. But the truth is, most of the time, we're going to have to initiate that conversation. Most of the time, it'll be our responsibility to confront someone with the Word of God, which is what happened in John chapter 4 with Jesus and the woman at the well. Now, I want you to notice a very powerful observation that kind of covers the scheme of the storyline that's happening. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in John chapter 4, if Jesus had never brought up living water, it would have never been brought up? Think about it. If Jesus never brought that up, then the woman would have come to the well, and Jesus would have asked for a drink of water, and she would have given him a drink of water at the well, and then they would have gone their separate ways, and it would have never been addressed. But Jesus was concerned about more than water in that well. He was concerned about her soul. And there's a principle here that I think teaches us by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and helps us to understand that. Here is the Savior who is more concerned about a woman's eternal destiny than what he was a little cup of water. He was more concerned about a person's soul than what he was about getting his glass filled up at the restaurant. Is it a little too early to start application, or should we back up? He was more concerned about someone's eternal destiny than he was if they got their order right at a fast food restaurant, or if everything was just perfect the way that we think it ought to be. Jesus was concerned about her life. In fact, if you know the story, and you probably know it well, Jesus broke a lot of cultural norms to give her the gospel. Jews didn't speak to Samaritans. They didn't fellowship with them. They didn't have any doings with him. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ who gently and persistently engaged her in conversation which purposely led to the gospel. And if you and I would take that same approach, we would learn this principle of propagation or of the spread of the gospel. And I am all for, and we're going to talk about tonight, that you ought to go soul winning and you ought to be out, and I think that's wonderful. But I go back to what I said in the first message, and that is that as you are going, you are to be giving the gospel. No matter where you go, whether it's a friend day flyer, whether it's a track, or whatever the case may be, you ought to be actively involved in giving the gospel. It was a joy for me to hear today of three occasions where someone pulled out a track or a friend day flyer, a friend day flyer, and someone had already beat them to the punch and given them one. A couple of them were at restaurants, another was at a store. That's a wonderful thing to hear. It means that the gospel's getting out. That's the way that it ought to be. And so tonight, I want to speak a little bit about how do we spread the gospel? What does that look like? And I want to make some personal application with our own ministry and our community here. But in the passage of Scripture, there are a lot of details. I'm not going to take the time to alliterate or outline all of them that are in the passage. But if you just look at what Jesus did in John chapter 4, you will find that Jesus purposely engaged this woman in a conversation so that he could then open the door to the gospel. Jesus started with small talk, and he asked her for some drink, and they began to talk about that, and then he piqued her curiosity by introducing her to the water that she would never thirst again, and then finally he made the way to eternal truth and gave her the gospel. All the while, he brought the central focus of the conversation back to the truth of the Word of God. In fact, if you study this passage, you'll find that this woman tried to derail the conversation in more than one occasion. I mean, well, let's talk about my father Jacob. He's the one that dug the well. Who do you think you are? And if not careful, Jesus could have gone into a debate about history and gone into a discussion about all of that. But he was careful and wise to bring the conversation back to the real reason and the real focus, and that was the gospel message. And we're going to talk more, not tonight, about witnessing when it comes to people that you're close to. There's sometimes a difference in the way you would witness to your family or people that are close to you or maybe friends or perhaps people that you work with. But in John chapter 4, it's specific. It's the evangelism of a stranger that's lost. That's the context, and that's the discussion that is taking place here. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to impress upon you, yea, even more than ever, that when it comes to you giving the gospel, we don't have a script that we memorize. When it comes to you giving the gospel, it's not about you having rote memory, and I think you ought to know the scripture, and I think you ought to memorize those things, but far more important than you know every verse and every passage is that you understand we have a message, and we must communicate that message that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he died for the sins of man so that they could have a home in heaven. Our job is to communicate the gospel. It's not about specific words. It's not about specific ideas, and though we'll give you some ideas that are help, please don't think tonight that as we illustrate in a moment that you have to say everything the same way and read every verse the same way. No, no, no. The truth of the matter is God is interested in you taking the Bible where you live and where you are and giving the gospel to those that are around you. And I'll tell you this, the more you use the Bible, the more comfortable you'll become at adapting Scripture to the person you're talking to. Because I've learned this, I never have any idea what questions somebody may ask and what person I may run into. And I can't possibly, and neither can you possibly, have all the answers. But I have the Holy Ghost of God. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight about some of the various types of visits or soul winning or visitation or whatever terminology you would like to use so that we can spread the gospel into the community. Tonight, not in any particular order, I want to introduce a couple different things that you're already familiar with, but I have organized them and outlined them in order for us to get our mind around the picture of the Great Commission that we get the gospel into all the world. So without further ado, first of all tonight, I want to introduce you to the workmanship visit. When you have a moment, and you've written that down, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 if you would. the workmanship visit. Each of these are teaching points. In fact, to be honest with you, this is a little bit different for me. It's not really a message per se. It's going to be more of a teaching style, and I hope it'll be a help. It's really just for our people, and that's us that are here tonight, and I hope that you'll get encouraged and learn some things from this. But the workmanship visit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Every year, we strategically and we purposely organize mass evangelism to reach thousands in our community. We've been doing it for years. We do it every year. It doesn't replace individual soul winning, but it is part of our obedience to go out into the community. It is part of our, watch now, good works as a believer in the community. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, good works are a part of God's plan. Let me say that again, because those that are Church of Christ and those that are Catholic and other religions have stole that from us. Good works are a part of God's plan. John Phillips said this, "Good works are not what provides salvation, but they are proof of salvation." And the truth of the matter is, just because a man does good works doesn't mean that he is saved, but because a man is saved, he will do good works. It's the result of God working in my heart. A believer doesn't get saved because he does good works, but because he is saved, he does good works. And the evidence of that is that we reach others in the community, and it's a proof to them that Jesus is alive and that there's a church in the community that cares about people and wants to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are His workmanship. Now look at the verse. Created unto what? Help me. Created unto what? Good works. Now, in what ways do we endeavor to do that? Well, many of you who have been around here for years, we for several years have put together outreach packets, and every year we distribute 5,000 or so. We have endeavored, we started at about a quarter mile radius from the church here, and we've worked in circumference from the church, and we're about 5 miles or so, and we have distributed 20,000 packets so far to 20,000 homes. And in those packets, there's all kinds of information. There are tracts in there. There's information about our school. There's information about the bus ministry. There's a gift in there. There's an invitation to church, and there's a DVD presentation with a 9-minute gospel presentation on it. And we have strategically and systematically gone into the community in order to get the gospel to as many homes as we possibly can. It is part of us reaching into the community. It is part of our evangelism that we would reach families and make a difference. Now, here's what I found. It's my statistic. I made it up based on my own findings. But we reach about one family for every 1,000 outreach packets. Now, you may say, well, preacher, that's not a very good return rate. That's not a lot. But wait a minute. A church that adds 5 members a year is headed in the right direction. By the way, statistically, we add more than that every year. And it may not be the return rate that you might want in your business or that you might want in some investment, but God's not called us to have a special return rate. God's called us to go out and to sow the seed and to be obedient to give the gospel. And this is one of the easiest ways for you and your family to get involved in the work of the Great Commission. Look, anybody can take a little bag and hang it on someone's doorknob. You say, well, preacher, I can't walk very well and I have all kind of health problems. Okay, fine. Anybody can put a tract in a plastic bag. And there's not a lot of commitment. There's not a lot of pressure. There's not a lot of accountability. There's not a lot of confrontation. But anybody at any age can get involved in this to give the gospel. Now, let me reiterate. This is not an excuse for you not to give the gospel personally. It's not an excuse for you to be able to say, well, I don't have to give the gospel because I hung three packets this year on somebody's door. So therefore, I've done all that God wants me to do. But it is a way for us to more quickly get the gospel out into the community and to reach people with the ministry and for the cause of Christ. In DeSoto County, there are estimated 177,000 people that reside in DeSoto County. They estimate somewhere between 75 and 85,000 homes in DeSoto County. You do the math on that. We're at 20,000. We got a long way to go to reach every home in the community. You say, well, preacher, I think we ought to do more. I think we ought to do 10,000. I think we ought to get busy. I think we should too. And I think you should help. Hello. Because we have a Bible responsibility with this local church to reach this community for the cause of Christ. So, preacher, why is it a big deal? Why do we care? Because we are His workmanship. Created unto good works. Here's another way that we've endeavored to do that. The CIA ministry. The CIA stands for Compassion in Action. We've operated this at different times through the year for the last couple years. Jesus said that I am to go unto my neighbor and I am to serve him, yea, even with a cup of water. And so, I am to, because of compassion, bind up the wound and pour the oil and feed and clothe. And via our CIA ministry, we've served meals and we've served breakfast and we've served coffee and we've washed cars and we've encouraged local high school football teams. Now, why have we done that? Because we've been created unto good works. That's what the Bible says. By the way, we're not sidelining the gospel. I forget, the first time we launched the CIA ministry, I had some fellow brethren in Christ criticize me. The Clearview Baptist Church is no longer a soul-winning ministry. Well, I lose about this much sleep over that. Because number one, every one of those people, whether it was a police officer or a football player or somebody that works for the city, got the gospel. And number two, we've never used any of those ministries to sideline or sidestep the gospel. In fact, along with that, we don't ever cancel soul winning to do so. It's an addition to that so that we can get out into the community. And by the way, just in case you need reminded, we don't believe here that serving a meal saves a soul. We don't believe here that because we've washed a police officer's car that somehow they're going to heaven. No, my friend, but we do believe in serving those in the community so that they know there's a church that cares and doesn't just care about their car and doesn't just care about the football team, cares about their soul. And so we ought to be involved in getting the gospel out by any means that we can do so. Why? Because it's evidence to the community by good works that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The word workmanship is an interesting word. It means you are His poem or masterpiece. If I am Jesus' masterpiece, then I am a canvas, and the master is producing a work of art in and through me because I am His workmanship. And so can I tell you tonight that if you profess to be saved, your life is to exhibit a behavioral change. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, and you ought to be concerned about leaving an impact for the cause of Christ and making a difference in other people's lives. By the way, in case you want to criticize, Jesus went about, the Bible says, doing good works. That's what the Scripture says. And so, number one, there is the workmanship visit where we get into the community and as a testimony, we give the gospel and we serve others. Number two is the stewardship visit. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What a great verse. Verse number 1. The Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What a great verse. Now, there's all kinds of things that are found in that verse. There's an accountability that's there. There is a reckoning that's there. There is a call that's there as a minister of Christ. And then he says, we've been given a duty, a responsibility as stewards of the mysteries of God. We often think of stewardship, we think of only with money sometimes. And I think that's right, and it ought to be addressed with that. But Paul said that we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God, or, if you will, the gospel. We are ministers of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're still looking for that. A steward is a servant who manages something for the master. The master owns it. The master has placed it into his or her care. The master has entrusted it with you. And so as a church, we are to share the gospel with the lost. We're to share the gospel with our church family. We're to do good deeds and good works because God has entrusted to us the word of God. And we're to be stewards of that. A steward may not please the household. A steward may not please other servants, but if he pleases the master, he's a good steward. And everybody may not agree with how you give the gospel or how you present the gospel, but as long as you're giving the gospel, God is pleased. I have little patience for people that want to criticize someone who is willing to give the gospel. And so, the spread of the gospel and a steward of the gospel begins to recognize that I've got to knock on every door or talk to every person in the park or everybody that works on my floor or everybody that lives in my neighborhood, whatever the proposed outreach is. Now, every week here at Clearview Baptist Church, we take a street or we take an area and we invite people to church and we look for opportunities to witness to them and to share the gospel with them. Now, I want to set your heart at ease for a moment. There is quite a crowd of people in the biblical world today that says, well, knocking on doors doesn't work anymore. Sharing the gospel, going out in the community doesn't work. By the way, there are people in this room who knock on doors every week, and I'm right when I say this, and you would agree, that almost every week somebody tells me, boy, you guys are doing a good thing. It's a shame nobody else does that. And there's a philosophy out there that, well, that doesn't work anymore. And I would confess, the truth is that not everybody is saved when you knock on their door. But it does still reach people. The proof of that is there were several reached this week because somebody knocked on their door. One followed the Lord in believers' baptism this morning because someone knocked on their door. So don't you tell me it doesn't work because you don't knock on doors. Why don't you try knocking on doors and see if it does work? And by the way, usually the people that write those blogs don't knock on doors themselves either. But it does make a difference. And we are called to steward the gospel and to give the gospel and to be obedient. I'm not concerned if everybody I meet gets saved. I wish they would. I'd love to lead everybody to the Lord. I've led nobody to the Lord sometimes knocking doors. I've led one person to the Lord. I was visiting last summer, and for three doors in a row, somebody got saved. I thought, hallelujah, well, I don't know what kind of street this is, but this is a good time right here. Amen. It's all different. I don't know who I'll meet, you don't know who you'll meet, and that's all well and good, but I'm to be obedient, and I'm to go out into the community, and I'm to give the gospel. We call that soul winning, we call it door to door. There's all kinds of different approaches and all kinds of different terminology, and I want to, just for a moment, I want to give you four things, maybe just as suggestions or helps as to what this looks like. Maybe you'll write these down, but I want to just give you a couple things that are kind of some guidelines to help us with that. First of all, letter A, you ought to introduce yourself. Now, I would confess to you, and I'm the one preaching the sermon, I'm terrible at that. Terrible. I often forget to introduce myself and the person that's with me. But you should do that. You should say, Hey, my name's Pastor Nepshield. I pastor Clearview Baptist Church, and this is Mike Gallion. He's with me today, and we're just out here in the community. Introduce yourself. If they give you your name, their name rather, then you ought to listen so that it tells that you're paying attention and you know what their name is. You can use that later. And then introduce the church while you're there. Quickly identify yourself. Now, here's the reason why. Because they want to know whether you're from a cult or not. They just naturally assume, well, you're obviously a Jehovah's Witness or some kind of Mormon or some sort of cultish person if you showed up at my door and I didn't ask you to come. They want to know if you have a tie on, if you're running for political office. You better identify yourself. They want to know if you're going to sell them something. You're giving away pizza coupons and we just wanted to give you one. No, we're not there for any of that. Identify yourself that we are here from Clearview Baptist Church and we're out in the community and you ought to introduce yourself. The second one, letter B, is to invite them. Now, you may have a little different approach and that's fine, but I often quickly will invite someone to the church. And by the way, anybody can do these. Whether it's a flyer that you passed out this week for Friend Day, whether it's a track, whether it's a special day, whether it's revival or whatever the service is, you can invite them to a church service. Hey, I go to Clearview Baptist Church. Me and my family have been going there for years. I'd love to invite you to the church. Anybody can do that. There's no pressure. It's not difficult. It's not hard. You can't give me one excuse tonight on your way out the door that says, "Preacher, I can't do that." Anybody can. If you can't, we'll help you with that. Introduce yourself. If you don't know your name, we'll help you with that. We can eliminate all your excuses. And then here's the third one, letter C. Then begin to inquire. Now, this is where people get nervous. This is where they get scared. Do you have a church? Would you be willing to come to our church? And by the way, we live in a great part of the United States for witnessing. Because people here are still, most of them, friendly and open to the gospel. Now, most people that you meet in the Mid-South are already saved, and they already go to a Baptist church, and their granddaddy started that church. That's most of us. But we're in an area where you can ask them questions. Do you go to church anywhere? Is there a place where you guys normally attend? And if they have a church, now here's an important thing. Write this down, if you would, under letter C. Their response and your response will dictate the rest of the conversation. At this point, and I don't care if you're at work, having a cup of coffee, or if you're standing on somebody's door, their response and your response will dictate the rest of the conversation. Suppose they say they're an atheist. That's going to dictate the rest of the conversation. Suppose they say, "Boy, I'm so glad you guys are out here. I trusted Christ when I was 14 years old. I'll never forget it. I was baptized later." That's going to dictate the rest of the conversation. And your response. Suppose they say they're an atheist and you get angry. It's going to dictate the rest of the conversation. The list goes on. And so at this point in the conversation, I want to be careful and I want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. If they have a church, don't criticize. Don't try to twist their arm and coerce them. I have good friends in the ministry that disagree with me on this, but you're not at their door to have a church argument with them. There is something more important, and that's the gospel. And by the way, if you don't like that, read John chapter 4 again. Jesus didn't argue with the woman at the well ever. He was wiser than that. He was smarter than that. And the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I'm not interested in flexing my muscles on how many verses I can quote compared to how many they can quote. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in something bigger than that, and that's their soul. And one of the reasons why the generation that we are has become scared of witnessing is because we're afraid that we have to go to battle for our faith. Now, I think you should stand for your faith. I've had all kinds of confrontations with people, and I'm not ashamed of that one bit. And I've knocked on people's doors that get the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I have to patiently and kindly leave. But I'm not there to argue. I'm there to give them the gospel. And I want the Holy Spirit to guide me to determine, are they even interested? Do they care? Is this a convenient time? I want to leave a good testimony for Christ, and I want to leave a good testimony in the name of the church that perhaps somewhere along the way, if somebody else from the church comes in contact with them, they'll get saved. And by the way, that works. The proof of that you saw this morning in this church service. There was a couple that sat in our service on Wednesday night for the first time. They had interaction with one of our bus workers the Saturday before. And because the bus workers were kind and patient with them, they came to church on Wednesday. And because in the Wednesday night service, people were kind and patient and loving with them, they allowed me in their home on Saturday. And each of us had a part of sowing the seed and opening the door so that as the gospel was shared, young lady trusted Christ. You see, I want to leave that kind of testimony where maybe I'm just sowing the seed and someone else comes behind me and they water it. But whatever the case may be, with all of my inquiries, I want the Holy Spirit to be guided in that. Here's a fourth one, letter D. Now I want to involve them in the conversation. Look for ways that you can create small talk and give them the gospel. Now, I need the following people to make their way to the platform if they would. And I want you to just stand along this rail over here, if you would. Sam Hagedorn, Don Glenn, Greg Curtis, Miss Lee Henry, I want you to come. Jennifer Nichols, I want you to come. Daniel Nepshield, I want you to come. David Helmick, I want you to come. Let's see, I need a husband and wife. Where's David Hanna? Is he out in the foyer? David, can you hear me? Miss Angie, if you would, come up. There he is. He heard me. Miss Angie, I want you and David to come up here. I think I got... Brother Sam, I want you to be first. So if you'll just stay right there at the head. And Brother Greg, I want you to be last. So everybody else, just kind of feel... We're just going to make a line right here. Just get in line right here. And let's just get in line here. And it doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter what order you're in. I think we got everybody. Now, I've never done this before. By the way... Nobody, with the exception of Greg Curtis, knew that they were going to be called up here. And I only told Greg because Greg was with me when I visited yesterday. And so they have no idea what they're about to do. And I have no idea what they're about to do. But I want to involve them. Just hold this for a minute if you would. I want to learn to involve who I'm speaking to for the gospel. Now, I will oftentimes look for a way when I can compliment someone or have some connection so that it will give me an inroad to the gospel. Maybe they have a sports team that they like. Maybe you saw a banner in their front yard, or maybe they have a well-manicured yard. Maybe their yard looks terrible. And it's a great way for you to say, I know some people that mow grass, man. Look for a way that you can make that connection with the gospel and have an inroad. And I'm not there to compliment someone's yard. I'm there to give them the gospel. That's what I want to do. That's what I endeavor to do. And so I'm looking for an open door where I can say to them, has anybody ever told you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And their response and my response will dictate the conversation. And I think you ought to give them the gospel and share with them the plan of salvation if they're open. If they're not open, then I would encourage you to maybe exchange phone numbers and certainly write their address down. Here's a great idea. Ask them if you can come back and check on them. And here's what I found from personal experience. It gives me a purpose for going back. I can go back, maybe I can take them a little booklet or a flyer, or I did that yesterday. Yesterday I went by and talked to a boy that I visited on Saturday, and I told him I would be back. And I said, hey, remember I told you I'd come back and see you? And he remembered that. I have a purpose for being there. I'm not the strange lurky dude in the community. I have a purpose for being there. Now look, everybody can do this. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of study. You don't have to work toward it, but we ought to be able to give the gospel. Now, I want to illustrate what that looks like. And I have no idea what these people are going to say. They have no idea what I'm going to say. And so one by one, I want you, with the exception of David and Angie, I want you to come as a couple. One by one, I want you to come to the door as I knock on it. And we're just going to treat this as a visit. And you, whatever God lays on your heart will be your answer, your response to me. And if you give the same response as the person in front of you, you're fired and you don't get your paycheck. But outside of that, and I don't know how this is going to go. It may be a great illustration. It may help you. It may not. But let's just illustrate what this would look like if you were out and you were visiting. So, Brother Sam, you got the microphone there.
Hello.
Hey, I'm from Clearview Baptist. You're supposed to introduce yourself. My name's Corey Knepshaw. I'm the pastor of Clearview Baptist Church, and we're just out here in the community, and we're inviting people to church. And I just wanted to ask you, do you have a church that you attend?
I do.
You do?
Yes, sir.
All right. Where do you normally go to church at?
Go to that one on the corner, the big one, Brown.
Big one on the corner. All right, good, yeah. Do you get to go every week?
I go when I can.
Go when you can. Awesome. Well, look, I'm going to tell you this. You know, going to church is a good thing, but the most important thing is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Good. Can I ask you how you know that?
I grew up in church, brother.
Grew up in church. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, church is a good thing, but Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal salvation. Now, let me show you on the back of this card, there's some Bible verses here, and I want to encourage you to read those. I think they'll be a help to you. Would you promise me that you'll read those tonight?
Yes, I'll read them.
Would you ever be interested in coming to visit our church, or are you pretty committed where you are?
I'll try you out.
Okay, all right. We'd love to have you. I'm going to look for you. Hope that'll be a help to you.
All right.
All right, good. So maybe... maybe you run into somebody who has all the answers. And by the way, that's a typical answer. Lots of people, they were raised in church. If you ask them how they know they're saved, they can't give you an answer. All right? Daniel, come on up. Hey, that was my last track. You took my last track too, by the way. Hey, is your mom and dad home?
They're out.
They're out. Okay. Yeah, your parents are out a lot, aren't they? Well, I tell you what. Let me give you this make-believe track that I have, and I want you to take this and tell your parents that I came by and let them know that I was here, and we're just kind of inviting people to church, all right? Will you do that?
Sure.
Okay, all right. My name's Corey. I'm the pastor. You tell your parents that I came by.
Okay.
All right.
Hi.
Now, I'm going to talk about this later. But if you encounter a child, I would encourage you to be careful. Because we live in a strange world. And people don't have any idea what you're teaching their children. I've encountered all kinds of people who've been upset with me for trying to witness to their children. And so be careful. Be wise with that. Now, the Holy Spirit may give you liberty to share the gospel. I'm certainly not saying you can't. But I'm saying to you to use wisdom. How you doing, sir? My name's Corey Knepshaw. I'm the pastor at Clearview Baptist Church, and we're just out here inviting people to church today in your neighborhood. Do you have a church that you attend?
Sure do. Here's my pastor's card.
Oh, great. Well, you're a member of our church. Well, haven't seen you in the services, and so... Hey, by the way, you're going to get those. You'll get... Now, if you get somebody that goes to our church and you don't know them, there's a real problem with that. But you're going to get people who will be forward, and I think that's a great illustration. I meet people all the time that will say to me, well, you know, you should come visit us. And I don't say it, but I want to say, lady, I'm the one that knocked on your door. And so you ought to be careful and kind with that illustration. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Let me move this so maybe that door will open a little bit better. There we go. Who's next? All right, I got tracks too.
She's not going to the door.
Can I help you?
Yes, we're from Clearview Baptist Church, and I'm just out here inviting people to the church.
Okay, thank you. I'm not interested.
Okay, all right. Well, just read over that track. Have a great day. And I just want to tell you that that's usually the response I get from Jennifer Nichols, and so... By the way, you're going to get that. Now, wait a minute. You can take that personal and be upset with it, or you can say, by the way, you might encounter that at work. I gave them the gospel. There's nothing else I can do. But I promise you this, when they have a hardship and a difficulty, they'll remember that. Yes, we're from Clearview Baptist Church, just out here inviting people to the church. Do you have a church that you attend?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Where do you go to church normally?
I go to Way Yonder Church.
Way Yonder Church. Okay. Yeah, awesome. Is that a particular kind of church? Is it a Methodist, a Baptist?
Well, it's a non-denom.
Non-denominational. Okay, awesome. Hey, let me tell you this. I'm not trying to take people from their church, but we are encouraging people to think about eternity, and I'm sure that your preacher talks about that. The most important thing is that you would trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. Well, let me encourage you to read over those Bible verses, and I'd really like to invite you to come visit us. Do you think you'd ever be interested in visiting?
Yeah, I'd give it a shot.
Okay, great. Love to see you. Love to have you. By the way, you're going to meet a lot of people that will have that kind of a testimony. Again, we don't need to get alarmed with that. We just need to try to share our faith. Who's next?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing? I'm from Clearview Baptist Church, and I'm the pastor over there. I'm just out here meeting people and inviting them to the church. And do y'all go to church, either one of you? Or?
No, I used to go to church when I was a kid, but I haven't been in a long time, many years.
Okay, all right. What about you? Do you go? Or?
Not since I was a kid.
Okay, great. Well, we're out here just trying to encourage people to be in church, and I think it's a great thing. I think you'd enjoy our church. It'd be a help to your family. Y'all have children?
Yes, sir, we have. Pass a load.
Pass a load. All right. 15, 16? Or
close.
All right, good. Praise the Lord. Well, the most important thing is that you know the Lord is your Savior, and I know you both went to church as children. Did you ever make a profession where you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Not really.
No?
I don't reckon. I don't guess so. No,
okay,
sir.
All right.
I went to Catholic Church. I mean, you know, I don't know.
What about you?
I did as a child, but, I mean, I was young and, I don't know if I really grasp what I was doing.
Let me ask you this. Would y'all be interested in me taking my Bible and kind of sharing a few verses with you?
Well, yeah, I guess. We got a minute, I guess.
Okay, all right. Let me share with you just one verse that's in the back of the Bible. It's in 1 John chapter 5. Now, a lot of people get 1 John confused with John. John's in the middle, but in the back of your Bible is 1 John. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 13, and oftentimes, by the way, let me just interject something, that if I'm using the scripture, I want to try to turn the Bible where they're able to see it. It's just a personal thing. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." It's a great verse. Can I ask you a question? It's not a trick question. How long is eternal?
Forever?
Yeah. And the Bible says that we can know that. It's not maybe, it's not you hope so, but you can know that you have eternal life. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Would you like to know that you're going to heaven?
I mean, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds pretty interesting. I mean, I'll talk to her about it. We'll think about that.
Can I do this? Would I be able to come back maybe and just visit with you guys at a later date when it's a little more convenient?
Sure, that'd be fine. We've usually got stuff on Saturday mornings, but maybe Saturday afternoon or something.
Okay, well, keep my card, and maybe I can catch up with you. And if I can be a help, you let me know.
All right, thank you, man. Good luck.
All right, good. Take care. So you may have some people that are interested, but maybe they won't get saved. Nothing wrong with that. We're to give the gospel. We're almost done.
Hello?
Hey, I see you're on the phone there. I don't want to take up your time, but just wanted to give you that, invite you to the church.
I appreciate it.
Take care. All right. All right, good. By the way, that happens all the time. You're going to get people. Now, you can be demanding and tell them, hang up the phone because I'm important. Or you can be courteous and polite and just try to share the gospel with them, whatever the case.
Who is it?
We're from the church.
Who's that?
Clearview Baptist Church.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
My name's Corey. I'm the pastor at Clearview Baptist Church. We're over in South Haven at Goodman and Getwell. Let me give you one of my cards. I'm just inviting people to the church. Do you go to church normally? Or?
No, I don't go to church.
Okay, all right. Well, let me invite you to come by and visit with us. I think you'll enjoy the church, and there's a website there. Maybe that can help you. But the most important thing is that you would ask the Lord to be your Savior so you can know that you're going to heaven one day. Wouldn't you like to know you're going to heaven?
Yeah, that'd be something people would be interested in.
Do you ever think about that, or?
Not really. I'm in the military, so I don't really think too much about it. I'm kind of busy.
Man, I tell you what, though, being in the military, I mean, you certainly would want to have assurance that you know you're going to be in heaven one day.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us that we can know that. It's not maybe. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the Son of God?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I've heard about him when I was a kid. I went to church.
Okay. The Bible describes him for us as Jesus. He's the Son of God. He came to this earth. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that because Jesus came and he died, that he paid the price for our sin so that we can have eternal life. Would you be interested in me sharing a verse with you?
Sure.
About how you can know that?
Yeah.
Some of the verses I'm going to read are on the back of that card right there. But let me just show you a couple verses in Romans chapter 10. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at this verse. It's a little bit shorter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell me your name.
My name's Greg.
Greg. Greg, I a lot of times tell people that you can put your own name in there. For if Greg shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And, you know, you've already said you've heard about Jesus. He came, he died, and the Bible says that if we believe that, we're willing to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, that we can have a home in heaven. Is there anything, Greg, that would stop you from making that decision?
No, that sounds like a good thing to do.
Hey, that's great. Would you be willing to do that right now?
Sure.
Yeah. And so, and I'm going to stop there, and I've been praying that Greg would get saved, so that's wonderful, but I may lead a person in a prayer, I may ask them to pray, and you may do it differently, and that's all well and good. And I do all that just to illustrate that the truth of the matter is, anybody can share the gospel. Now, I had no idea what those people were going to say, and they didn't have any idea what I was going to say. And there's no reason for you to be afraid or to be intimidated when it comes to giving the gospel. Anybody can do it. And so I want to encourage you as a church family. Let me give you a couple practical things. I know what time it is and we'll be done. I don't have these on the screen. Let me give you five practical things about sharing the gospel that maybe can be a help to you. Number one, I would encourage you to have a New Testament. And I don't have one in my pocket. I was using this Bible. But as way of practice, I like to carry a New Testament because, number one, the New Testament has many of, if not all, the verses I'm going to need. And number two, it's not as intimidating. If you run up to somebody's door and you've got the family Bible, they may be a little nervous. Now, you can do that. And I'll let you be my partner if you want to take the family Bible. That's fine. But find your New Testament you can stick in your pocket or a small Bible that's compact, and you'll have it ready and handy and available, and that'll be a help to you. Number two, go with somebody. We would say it this way, have a partner. That's what we would say. And by the way, that's biblical. Luke chapter 10, you can write that down. Jesus sent the disciples in pairs. He paired them up two by two, and he sent them. There's a lot of things that having a partner does. It allows you to train somebody. A partner allows for the distractions to be handled. Yesterday, and by the way, Brother Greg was hollering on the other side of the door because he was with me yesterday and we had a guy yelling through the door at us. But we were in a home and we were visiting and the TV was on and there were distractions. And it was good to have someone with me who could handle some of that if a situation arose. I'll never forget, I don't know, a couple years ago, I was out with Brother Helmick on a Thursday or Saturday. I can't remember what it was. And there was a lady that was riding our buses and her children. And we pulled up in the driveway and they were in the driveway. And the kids had squirt guns and they were having a water battle. You remember this? And what introduced myself to the mother, and was able to step away from the children and share the gospel with her while Brother Helmick was being chased through the yard with squirt guns. Now, I'm just going to tell you, whether she got saved or not, that was worth it. But thank the Lord she did get saved. And that would have probably never happened if I didn't have somebody with me to keep the attention of the children and to help. And so I think it's a helpful thing. There's accountability that comes with that. We don't have time to talk about all that. Number three, be polite. I've already said some things about this. But here's the thing. When you knock on somebody's door, remember, you weren't invited. You're a stranger. You know, we get the idea, well, bless God, we're doing a good work in the community. And we are. But they didn't invite me. And so be polite, be courteous. Number four, never criticize. Now, I think this is important. You read the scripture again. I've already said it. Jesus didn't argue with the woman at the well. He gave her a soft answer. He gave her the gospel. And I'm not there to criticize or to argue with you. I'm there to give you the gospel. Number five, be Spirit-led. You need to be led by the Spirit. Now, here's why that's so important. Because there's lots of things as you step out by faith. And I don't care whether you call it soul winning or if you're just going to decide that tomorrow that person you work with, you're going to give them the gospel. You have no idea what they may say. You can't anticipate all of that. And so you better be led by the Spirit so that you will have an answer. You'll be able to encourage them. And by the way, it's not bad to not always have the answer. There's many times that people ask me a question, and I'm the pastor. And I say to them, I'll have to call Brother Glenn, and I'll get back with you. I don't have all the answers, and neither do you. But it's okay. And the best way for me to respond is through the Holy Spirit and as His leading. I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for weeks now, and we have just a couple more in this series, on Sunday nights, I've been pleading with you that you would have a heart for the harvest and you would be willing to be obedient to the command and to get out and to give the gospel. And the proof is anybody can do it. Let's stand, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for the helps that are here and the illustration with your visit with the woman at the well. And Lord, I want to pray that in some of the illustrations that we gave tonight that maybe there was a help or an encouragement in some way. And Lord, I pray that all throughout this room you will just begin to plant a burden in the heart of your people to give the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The piano is playing when she finds her place. God spoke to your heart and you'd like to come to the altar. I don't have a lot of questions to ask you. If we're going to be obedient to the gospel, God's spoken to you. You come, would you? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's some people in this room that need to make a commitment that you're going to be a soul winner. You make all the excuses you want to, but you need to be a soul winner. And you need to start having a heart to see the souls of men.